This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, the Flint Water Advisory Task Force released its 116-page report. Although Governor Snyder appointed the task force, he and his administration were not spared in its frank findings. At the formal release of the task force report, co-chair Chris Kolb singled out the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality as having, as the report said, a degree of intransigence and belligerence that has no place in government.
It is extremely troublesome to me that an agency whose primary role is to protect human health in the environment came to these decisions, and they never backed off those decisions, no matter how many red flags they saw.
On Stateside on Wednesday, the other co-chair, Ken Sikkema, noted the emergency management law contributed to the Flint water debacle.
By having an emergency manager that has virtually dictatorial control over a city, you lose the checks and balances that representative government provides.
Joining us now is another member of the task force, Dr. Matthew Davis. He's a professor of pediatrics and a professor of internal medicine at the University of Michigan Health System. This report had some strong language. It said the Flint water crisis was caused by, quote, government failure, intransigence, unpreparedness, delay, inaction, and environmental injustice. What do you think was the most important point or points made in the report?
Lester, we made several important points, and some of the words you just highlighted are key lessons learned, we believe, from this water crisis. Number one, the state government, and to some degree its partners at local levels and at the federal level, did not respond in an appropriate way to several indications that things were quite horribly wrong with the water supply that was being used for drinking water in Flint. The color was wrong, the taste was wrong, the smell was wrong. There were infections from E. coli initially and then later from Legionella that may be related to the water supply as well. The response from state agencies did not connect these dots in a way that was appropriate given the seriousness of them at the time and the number of individuals who are coming forward with concerns.
What does the report say should be done to change the bureaucratic culture and what's being called the political ineptitude that led to the lead poisoning of an entire Michigan city?
What needs to happen on several levels is a change to be more responsive to concerns expressed by the public. One of the challenges that we brought up in our report is that with the emergency manager law, there was no ability of the local population to go to their locally elected officials and get something done in terms of responding to their concerns about the water.
That's the whole idea about an emergency manager, right? You shortcut any problems with the local local council.
Well, you bring to the conversation another concern of ours, which is that the emergency managers do not have the requisite expertise, the requisite subject matter experience to make decisions such as switching over to a different water source. In other words, the emergency manager is focused really on just the fiscal health of something like a city or a school system in the case of Detroit right now, and not to handle the full breadth of decisions that need to happen at the local level. And unfortunately, what happened here was a grave failure in terms of not having the appropriate expertise at the right time to do right by the people of Flint with their water supply.
The Department of Health and Human Services has also been criticized in its mishandling of the Legionnaire's disease outbreak in Flint and Genesee County. You served with the DHHS as the Michigan Department of Community Health's chief medical executive. Were you serving in that capacity during these cases of Legionnaire's, a spike in Legionnaire's disease?
I served as the chief medical executive from March 2013 to the end of April 2015. So the first wave of cases that we saw of Legionnaire's disease in 2014 came during the time I was there serving in the Department of Health and Human Services.
And there was a second wave in 2015. Do you think it was appropriate for you to be sitting on this task force since you might have had a role in some of the decisions at Health and Human Services?
So there are two parts to your question. One is, was I aware of the Legionnaire's cases? And unfortunately, I was not aware of the Legionnaire's cases. As readers of the report will notice, one of the issues that happened here is that when cases occur within one county, they are expected to be followed up by that county. Only when the county requests the help of the Department of Health and Human Services does the department step in. The county did ask for that help and asked for the help from the epidemiologic team. The chief medical executive, the role that I had, is only asked to be part of those discussions when there's some question or when the chief medical executive is asked to provide input.
I'm sorry, so the chief physician, the chief doctor, is only asked if the bureaucrats don't think they can handle it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the epidemiologists, who are, I would call more scientists than bureaucrats,
okay,
are trained to do the evaluation, and in this case responded to the Genesee County Health Department to assist them with the investigation of the Legionnaires' cases in 2014. The other part of your question is, should I have been part of this task force? And I take that question very seriously, and it's something that I thought about a lot when I was asked to be part of the task force. I was asked to be part of the task force because I understand the inner workings of the Department of formerly Community Health, now Health and Human Services, and I could bring my experience as a physician and public health policy person to the questions that were before the task force. What I was asked also is, can I be fairly critical of the Department of Health and Human Services in terms of what was done or not done as part of the Flint water situation? And I think anyone who sees the report that we released yesterday will see that we are more than critical.
Do you think, given what you just told me about the role of the chief medical executive, that that person should have a more active role when these decisions are made rather than
consultative?
Yes.
That's a question that we have discussed as a task force. And in fact, Lester, one of the recommendations we make is that the cabinet in Michigan have a new member. That cabinet member would be a public health professional who would be able to make the connections and connect the dots across all the agencies of the state regarding health issues. This is following a principle that's generally called health in all policies. And the idea here is that there was a failure to prioritize public health. And unfortunately for the people of Flint, when we don't prioritize public health, oftentimes the health of the people suffers.
10 people died, several others were sick. What was the reasoning at DHHS in not asking the Centers for Disease Control to investigate this Legionnaires' disease outbreak, or these two outbreaks? Do you have any insight on that?
I don't have insight on why the CDC was asked later but not asked earlier. I think in general, the decision-making about pursuing an outbreak or trying to evaluate why an outbreak is happening is managed at the state level, and there's considerable expertise in our State Department of Public Health, and it's recognized actually throughout the country as one of the better ones.
All evidence points to the contrary.
I think that in this situation, what we're most concerned about, and we highlight this in the report, is that the response seemed to be to assume that the drinking water was not a part of the story, rather than working to establish that it, in fact, was not.
We recently talked to the Genesee County Health Director, Jim Henry. He's concerned that Legionella bacteria might still be lurking in the water system, and as weather warms, there might be another outbreak this year. What should be done to ensure that doesn't happen?
I share that concern, frankly, and we spoke to Mr. Henry as part of our interviews for the task force. We say explicitly in the report that the Genesee County Health Department, the Department of Health and Human Services for the state, and the CDC should jointly be responsible for being extremely vigilant as the ambient temperature warms up here, because we know that the first cases of Legionnaires occurred in April and May in 2014 and 2015. That's exactly when we expect the Legionnaires bacteria to become more active and multiply in the water system if they are there. That's why it's also important that there's currently a study being led out of Wayne State University and across multiple universities where they're testing the water system to look for Legionella that may be there.
Does the disinfectant that's used for typical bacteria work on Legionella?
It turns out that garden variety chlorine works very well, but here's the problem. The problem is that, A, there may have been a much higher burden of Legionella in the water system from the Flint River that may have overwhelmed the amount of chlorine that was there, or B, that the chlorine may have been bound in a chemical way by the lead particles that were in the water, thereby reducing the effective level of chlorine.
So even though we've switched to Detroit water, there still could be Legionella lurking in these areas that don't get a lot of traffic, dead-end loops in suburbs and places like that.
Exactly right. And so what needs to be done and is already in place is some monitoring of the Flint water system to see whether there's evidence of Legionella still in there. The fact that there's been a change back to the Detroit water source as the primary source is great, but there was damage done, as we know, to the Flint water distribution system. That still means there may be a risk of further Legionella.
You and I have talked about kids being lead poisoned because of old homes with lead paint in the past. Now you've got this concentrated area of lead poisoned kids because the water was contaminated. What's being recommended to guarantee, in the report that was issued this week, what's being recommended to guarantee that those kids get the health care and the educational help that they'll need in the future to help them overcome this permanent damage?
I'm glad you asked about that, and that's one of our key recommendations for follow-up, is to have all these kids, not just those who've been tested and found to have high lead, but to presume that all kids in Flint are at risk, and therefore set up the appropriate follow-up and evaluation for them in terms of their development of their ability to learn, for example. Also, to provide appropriate nutritional support to them, because we know that kids who are malnourished tend to absorb lead more regularly or more readily. And furthermore, for the kids who are known to have high lead levels, to make sure that they have a comprehensive environmental assessment where they live to make sure that there aren't lead paint risks or lead water risks.
Now, we know that some pundits in Michigan have suggested that only a fraction of the kids were actually lead poisoned. You're saying that the report says we should treat all kids as if they were. Why?
We should treat all kids in Flint as if they were lead exposed, Lester, because A, we don't have information to the contrary. In other words, we don't have information that suggests that there are many, many kids in Flint who were safe just because they weren't tested. Number two, the lead tests that are done only indicate the lead level for the past 30 to 35 days. And it's possible a child might have been exposed, but by the time they were tested in the doctor's office, that lead level may have been normal. So given what we know is true about the lead in the water in Flint, it makes sense from a scientific point of view, and especially for the health and well-being of those kids, to be very thorough in our follow-up for them.
The final question I want to ask you about, Paul Egan with the Detroit Free Press wrote an article last week that indicated Democrats on the U.S. House Oversight Committee said 15 current or former officials in the Snyder administration have refused to cooperate with the committee as it investigates the Flint drinking water crisis. It identified you as one of those 15. Did you refuse to cooperate, and if so, why?
I didn't refuse to cooperate. I was one of 15 people who received those letters from the ranking members of the committee. I was advised by the Attorney General of Michigan that they would respond to that ranking member, and that they would advise the ranking member that we would all respond when we had more time to do so. Therefore, I'm being asked because I was serving at the time that
right.
the water was changed over the Flint River. As I've mentioned earlier, I was not a part of these decisions about Legionnaires' disease or lead. I actually would be happy to provide emails because there aren't any on my behalf. But the goal, as I understand it from the Attorney General's office, is to provide responses from all 15 people. The request came in a very short time frame just before Governor Snyder's testimony before that panel.
Now, I understand that as a former administration official that you would be concerned about what the Attorney General is recommending, but you have no obligation to follow the Attorney General's recommendations when it comes to a request from the U.S. Congress.
In my situation, Lester, I am being represented by the Attorney General because the matter about which I was asked was related to my service in state government.
So you're taking your lawyer's advice?
I'm following the advice of the Attorney General because I was in a state role at the time.
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Matthew Davis is a professor of pediatrics and a professor of internal medicine at the University of Michigan Health System. He was also a member of the Flint Water Advisory Task Force. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's been my pleasure.